It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to Steve Bloomer's Washing, your independent Derby County podcast. Season's greetings. I hope the festive period is treating you all well. It's definitely a good time to be a Ram right now as Derby County have hit their traditional December purple patch. Goals are flying in. We can't stop winning. And we're even into the last 16 of the Bristol Street Motors Trophy. Thank you very much. I am Chris Parsons. Thanks a lot for lending us your ears and two regulars on the pod joining me up to fifth. Five wins on the bounce, 13 goals scored on that winning streak, only one conceded. It is truly the most wonderful time of the year, isn't it, Tom Martin?
It's absolutely joyous to see Derby win away in December. It's getting used to this over the last 10 years, as we discussed on the quiz pod recently, that Derby got a fantastic record and long may it continue through this month.
It's been truly magnificent and fresh off a unique, lovely little weekend away in East London with some fantastic surroundings. It's Phil Hyle. How you doing, Phil?
I'm good, mate. Yeah. What a weekend, eh? What a bloody good weekend.
That does not even begin to do it justice. So a fantastic 3-0 away win at Leighton Orient. Me and Tom are in the home end. Tom brought along his 15-month, is he your son?
Yeah, 15 months. It was his
15-month son into the home end for his first game. He had a great time. I had a great time. Derby had a great time. But enough about all that. Phil, what was it like on the Airbnb balcony? It looked truly magnificent.
Yeah, it was joyous. Like, would recommend to anyone. We got there. We had it for 4 hours, but we got there a bit later, actually, at about 2:30. She'd got the nibbles out. She'd loaded the beer up, loaded the fridge up with beer.
What the hostess had?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
she
my
was
word.
She was there to let us in, and she'd stocked it with some Beavertown beer, so she wasn't even stinging on them either, really. I mean, when you go to as many football matches as we have over the years, they kind of can blend into one, can't they? Or especially your season by season, and some of them can become forgettable, but now I'm still on a bit of a buzz. And Derby made it, obviously, as well. If we'd been stood on that balcony losing 3-0, I'm not sure it would have been as enjoyable. But yeah, we'll get on to the performance later, I'm sure, because that certainly added to it as well.
How did it compare to, it must be up there with like your Wembleys and your sort of Forest away and that sort of thing for as like a memory of a Derby away game, right? I mean, presumably you haven't been to anything like that ever before.
No, never. You know, just like, I mean, we knew we'd have a flag, so we are expected to, you know, to get a few looks or nods our way, but to get the whole Derby end, getting us to start the bounce and things like that was superb, and having a bit of crack with some of the Orient fans. I was expecting to get more pelters off them, to be honest. But they were really like taking it in good grace and just having like good-natured crack with them. So yeah, it was a good day.
It looked to me like, because me and Tom are in the home end, the bit we were in was relatively placid, and a bit to the left of the away fans was where your Orient lads were. But over where you were in the other corner, yeah, again, relatively tame. I thought. I mean, I saw the videos from one of your mates, and there was one guy who was giving it a bit of verbals after the third goal, but that seemed to be about as bad as it got, really.
He was the only one who got a little bit knocked by it. I don't know if that was where the disabled section was as well, because there was a Derby lad with crutches who was like giving it the old "come on, Derby" from down in the stands, and he was certainly enjoying it.
Yeah,
like you said, it was all good natured. We're all on best behaviour as well. So,
and you got a shout out from Paul Warren as well, didn't you? Afterwards, did you see that?
Yeah, I know. We take it because you know. Well, I think I've been on the pod marginally critical, you could say, of Paul. He's not my favourite manager at times, but fair play. I mean, don't want to over romanticise it too much, but you wouldn't that. You wouldn't get that support in plenty of the other Premier League teams, would you? You're getting a bit of a shout out from your manager. So,
what did Rebecca make of it at full time? Then it's just par for the course for her. She must have seen it all before, right? If she rents it out to football fans every weekend.
Well, she didn't come to Turf Us actually. So we did stay right up until 6 o'clock, and we were expecting her. Was she going to, you know, rock up and tell us to get out of there? But no, I think we might have been about 10 minutes late actually, and she's left us to it. So,
have you had the reciprocal reviews since then? You gave her stars, she gives you 5 stars, that sort of thing. That's how Airbnb works, isn't it? Most of the time.
Yeah, I think we're all good on that. We're all good on that score. 5 stars each way, I'm hoping.
Good. That's good to hear, Tom. It was. Yeah, it was a unique one for me. I've never been in a home end before. When the first goal went in, I think I handled it better than I thought I would, really. But it wasn't really much of a shock because we were pretty much on top from the early stages in that game against Leyton Orient. And I don't think it really got that ugly or needly in the stands where we were, just because like they didn't really give us much of a game, to be honest, did they?
No, from I think first sort of 10 minutes, there was a couple of chances. Cashin made a bit of a hasher one where he like tried to nick the ball away from Archibald, I think it was, and it went across, and then he lost the tackle because he dove in, and then the ball went back to Archibald and he completely miskicked it 12-15 yards out or so, and that was a really good chance. And then there was the shot from who is it? Is it James? It's not James Brown. Who was their centre? Jordan Brown, I think it is, in centre midfield.
And the ex-Derby lad.
Yeah, I thought he looked quite good in the middle. And he hit the shot straight at Wildsmith. Apart from that, though, Derby were well in control, and it was a matter of time before we scored. And then eventually we did score, should have scored immediately afterwards. And the last time, actually the first time SBW went undercover, it was the last time Louis Sibley scored a goal. I think it was against Oxford back in March. It was the last time he scored. So that was when me and Kutch were behind enemy lines. And that day it was a bit feisty because there were a ton of Derby fans in the home end. Next to the away fans, and the home fans next to the away fans were right in the core of the Oxford United group. So then it was a little bit feisty, a little bit edgy, and it was also 3-2 that day. So there were lots of goals both ways, and it got a bit tense towards the end. But yeah, Saturday was much more relaxed than the home end, I think, and it was just a matter of time because Derby was comfortable and were a much better team.
I don't know if you saw this yourself, Phil, from your vantage point. Did you happen to spot the Papa John's corner dugout on the diagonally opposite side to you?
Yeah, we did. We couldn't really work out what that all was about.
Me neither. Oh man, it looked so rubbish. I tweeted about it, and someone said it costks like 50 quid per person or something, and you just get to sit in it for like the whole game.
You get free pizza, I think, as well. It's all sponsored, and I think you get half-time drinks too.
Do you have you got the luxury of a warm sofa to sit on at half time? And, you know, have you got to pay for your, I don't know. It seems to me like you got the better end of the unique hospitality setup, I think, Phil, out of those two choices.
Well, the daft thing is about that B&B, she doesn't charge it by the flat. She charges it per person. So had there only been two of us, it would have been £25 per person, which when you're considering Derby fans paid £29 for their tickets, like, she's a smart cookie, I think.
If you imagine a situation where Leyton Orient got promoted to League One or something, and they had, you know, maybe like Sheffield Wednesday fans or Sunderland or got even higher, like she could easily get like 40, 50 quid a person out of that, couldn't she? Like she's definitely seems like you were undercharged for that experience.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's booked out every week or if she just like picks and chooses as and when. But she's only got 11 reviews, and that's since the end of COVID. So it doesn't seem like she's really caning it. But maybe, like you say, it's how many are Burton Albion going to bring, for example, or are they going to want to actually watch it from a balcony? I'm not sure.
There's sort of two edges to it, because I kind of get what you're saying, Chris, but I also think that I would actually rather be in the way end if it wasn't a sellout, because you'd want to sort of be in there with their chants and things like that. But because Derby had sold that away end out, and then you're like, all right, okay, this is quite a good opportunity because there's a big away following. Everyone's going to be up for it. Everyone likes coming down to London. And then I would like to do to have done that Airbnb. And I think that's like spot on, isn't it? You can get to drink your beers, not be bothered by other people, like have a bit of a chant and sing along. And it was absolutely spot on Saturday. And I'm totally jealous. But if it was like 55 people coming down from Accrington, I think I'd probably rather be in the 55 people from Accrington rather than in a Airbnb, probably sat on my own. But with eight lads, much better, or eight people.
You're a purist, Tom. I respect that. Well, yeah, the bit we were in, pretty old school ground, isn't it, really, Leyton Orient? Very, you know, proper League One vibes. Four stands, like wooden floorboards under the home end where we were, like, my view was like smack bang behind a pillar. So I had to, like, I was sort of doing this and trying to see what was going on in the second half. But Derby just sort of took the game away from them, really. Started that second half with another Nathaniel Mendes Lang goal. Absolutely on fire, that man is right now, on the pitch and off the pitch with his fancy dress costumes. More on that later. But a fantastic goal from him. Really good move. And the third goal, Tom, just talk me through what on earth Leyton Orient are even trying to do with that third goal. They were down to 10 men by then. We'll come on to that in a minute. But like, what on earth are they trying? Because whatever they were trying, it didn't work, did it?
I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it. But it was a short corner, wasn't it? I think it's cash in, and I'm not sure who else gets in there. As soon as the ball goes short, the pass isn't good enough, and it's closed down. I think it's good energy from Derby, good awareness to shut that down straight away. It breaks to Nelson, who just plays Mendes Lang through on goal. And Mendes Lang's got like 80 or 90 yards to run, basically. He's just outside the Derby box by the time Nelson plays the ball to him. And he runs onto it into space. Him and Barkhuizen have got the whole of the half to then have a bit of fun with it. And Barkhuizen times his run nicely. Mendes Lang slips it to him as the goalkeeper commits, which he has to do, and just buries it into the middle of the goal. So, yeah. Shocking defending. I've generally never seen anything like it. And 5 minutes later, they did exactly the same. And the goalkeeper, I think it was Byrne, made an absolutely fantastic save from John Jules. I don't know if you've seen it back. It was I thought it was a good save at the time, but it's even better on the replay. I think the corner comes in and it's to the front post rather than being short. And I think it's Mendes Lang again who sort of breaks down the left hand side, plays the ball outside of the boot. And I think it's Max Bird that jumps over the top of it. Sonny Bradley's up there as well. It was five on one. And John Jules sort of gets the ball under control, gets his body round it, and then hits it right footed from about 12 yards. And the keeper gets down to his left hand side and just claws it out, and it's cleared away for a corner. It's like, I don't know, 84th, 85th minute. And John Jules should have scored, but he did pretty much everything right. And the goalkeeper makes a fantastic save down to his left.
Probably could have been more. You have to say, and to be fair to you, Tom, you did actually say at halftime at 1-0, this should end up 3 or 4 because they're not a good side and we're on such good form at the moment. Like, I mean, Phil, who impressed you most out there against Leyton Orient? Like, it seemed to me that some of our general play, and it just seemed a lot more cohesive, and there wasn't maybe as much control in the middle of the park as there could have been at times. And Paul Warren even said in his post-match that there were things that he wasn't quite satisfied with, but some great performances, although we didn't really have to be absolutely amazing to beat Leyton Orient. But who were the standout performers for you?
I think Kane Wilson is really coming into his own now, isn't he? You know, he had a hand in the first two goals. Mendes Lang, I mean, was he nominated for League One Player of the Month? Because he definitely should have been if he wasn't. I love the outside of the boot he's trying at the minute. The old Ricardo Quaresma cross. He did another one, didn't he? Same as he did for John Jules at Port Vale. And I think it was one of Houlihan's better games in a while as well. Some of his passes he was threading through to Collins. I mean, on another day, Collins should have had one or two, shouldn't he, really? It's hard to criticise anyone, really. Not too sure I'm quite convinced that and comfortable with Ward at right back. But obviously, he offers a lot going forward.
Yeah, I think Houlihan was like the passing and going forward. I think he just sees things that people don't at League One level. And he therefore creates things that better strikers would score. The the sort of cross shot, which was left footed from about 30 odd yards out all the way along the floor. It just picks out Collins almost perfectly, and Collins wasn't quite ready for it. And then it was at such a good angle that I think it only just drifted up past the post, but the goalkeeper couldn't necessarily go for it until Collins definitely didn't get there, because if he does, then he's diving the wrong way and Collins has got an open goal. And it's just that quality of the weight of pass. And I think Collins should have probably got onto that. And as you say, Phil, I agree, like, Collins could have had a couple at least, maybe even a hat-trick on another day. But we didn't need Collins to do it. I think everyone played well. I'm not so sure about Bird quite so far forward. He seems like he gets himself... It doesn't seem to get the best out of him. He seemed to be like going beyond Collins, and Collins was dropping in a little bit deeper. And then he didn't quite make the run or create the space in the right way. I mean, if you even look at the goal that Sibley scored, Bird's run is like kind of a bit of an innocuous run. It doesn't create any space for Sibley to slip him in. So as a result, Sibley sort of goes on his own, and the Orient defence back off, and he buries it into the bottom corner with a good strike. So I think of all of it, I think Bird is better for me, deeper lying and creating the space. But then that's also Howard's job, and both of them doing the same thing.
Feels like we've just come full circle on the Louis Sibley narrative again. Has a really good game, calls for him to start. He does. He flatters to deceive for 6 weeks, comes in again, has a brilliant game like he did against Leyton Orient, scores a great goal, gets us going. People are saying, that's play him in the 10. That's where he operates. That's where he can do damage. I don't know. We've just made this same point again and again and again about what happens to Louis Sibley when he does this. I just hope maybe this time he does go on a run, puts in 2, 3, 4 decent, good performances where he does contribute a goal or an assist, because that's just what we all want to see from him. So we'll have to see if that's the case. Sending off, Tom, I couldn't really tell from where I was, really, because it was the other end of the pitch by the dugouts, not where we were. Brandon Cooper, the Leyton Orient centre-back, sort of a ball tossed up, but watching it again, he does throw in the elbow. He absolutely batters James Collins, doesn't he? I can't really work out. Warn mentioned afterwards that he made like a throwaway line that, oh, James Collins' teeth are only worth about 20p, so... I don't know if you're saying that he did actually knock a couple of Collins' teeth out, or if he was close to, but either way, like he absolutely cleaned him out full on in the face, didn't he, Tom?
Yeah, there was something weird about that whole collision. Like, saw the ball go forward, and then Collins just looked like he'd been poleaxed, and it looked like there'd been some sort of movement. And again, we were so far away, couldn't necessarily see. But as soon as the referee then blew, I couldn't believe it wasn't a foul immediately, but the ref clearly didn't see it. But then as soon as the referee blew, I said to Ellie and the guy that I was with, a guy called Ken, I said, I think he's in trouble here, because I think something bad has happened, especially for the fact that it seemed quite clear that the referee hadn't seen it and had been given some advice from the touchline, which is exactly what you need. That's what the fourth official's there for. And the first replay that I've seen on Rams TV, you can't really tell anything, but it's the reverse angle from up in the press gantry. He absolutely chucks the elbow in. I don't know what he's doing. If he doesn't get a 3-match ban, then I'd be gobsmacked. I think that's violent conduct. It could even be more than that, because he can clearly see where Collins is going, and it's deliberate and it's malicious and it's dangerous. Like, could well have knocked out a few of Collins's teeth.
Phil, do you think did it have that much of a bearing on the overall pattern of the game, that sending off, or do you think Derby would have seen off Orient with 11? We'll never know, obviously, but do you think, I mean I feel we were starting to get on top, and we were pretty dominant anyway, even with 11v11.
Yeah, I think we definitely would have still won, but we didn't really need to get out of second gear, did we, on Saturday? And I think it probably would have been a little bit more cagey, and we probably would have had to up it another gear or so. But yeah, that Cooper, that was... At the time, we just thought he'd ran across Collins and blocked his run, and that's what the initial whistle was for. But on reflection, fair play to the fourth official, because as you said, Tom, that's what they're there to do. And to see that, because I think most people in the crowd were wondering why. That was, yeah, shocking. I've seen, he's on loan, isn't he, from Swansea, and I've seen a few Orient fans on social media saying send him back after that.
It was a shocker. Right, well, more on Steve Bloomer's washing in a second. Over on your Patreon this month, another classic SBW festive special, the Christmas quiz, is in the can for 2023. So four rounds, me versus Kutch versus Tom versus Anton, a proper deep dive, granular, nerdy Derby County Trivia Fest, as you would expect from us. So sign up to that one over at patreon.com/Steve Bloomers Washing.
Hi, Derby County fans. I'm Branko Struper, and you are listening to Steve Bloomers Washing.
Martin. Low. And again. Delivers with his weaker foot. Patterson. Martin! Out of the wilderness, onto the score sheet, Chris Martin may well have salvaged Derby County the most unlikely of points here.
One more word on Orient then, Phil. I feel there's got to be like one more question I need to ask you. I'm going to regret it about the Airbnb situation. What was it like, you know, when you're there? When did you first become aware that like the Derby fans had clocked you and were like, you know, had spotted your unique vantage point?
I think they first shouted over in the first half, because to begin with, obviously we had draped our flag, but we were like trying to be as inconspicuous as we could do. I mean, and then when the goal went in, that kind of ended that. But then as the match drew on, we realised that the Orient fans were, you know, taking it in good taste. And I think we just obviously were getting a bit more inebriated as well. And we just were getting louder and more raucous.
So you didn't get a single bit of grief off the Orient fans like when the first goal went in then, and you all went for it, no?
Yeah, we all went for it. And no, some of them were even like laughing at us, you know, like, and almost like applauding us and having just, I think, appreciating us having a good time. I don't know whether they were neutrals or what, or whether they were, but I was expecting way more pelters, because I'd read one or two other reviews online, and it had been when Orient had won, and the fans were saying, oh, you know, it was what an experience, but I did take some stick. So I was like readying myself for that.
Never came. Well, who says Londoners are unfriendly, eh? You know, that's that stereotype myth busted. I feel we were going to do the pod last night, and I'm glad we didn't, because, I sliced my finger open. That's why we didn't do it. There it is. Anyone watching on video, we missed what came out today was all the pictures of the boys after the game. They all seemed to go to Winter Wonderland, I think, which I'll forgive them for because it's rubbish. But they did all go in some absolutely belting fancy dress costumes. We're looking at the pictures here. It's an absolute who's who there, isn't it, Tom? Like, who are you picking out there for the one who's made the best effort for the Derby County Christmas fancy dress night out?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I actually don't think I can. I do really enjoy Louis Sibley, because he just looks like a sixth former as Harry Potter. I think it's Sibley in there. My photo is not the Jarvis. There's Tommy Shelby.
Louis Sibley is Draco Malfoy, of course. Yeah. If you'd know that, Tom, if you were part of the... part of the Potterverse.
I don't really give a crap about Harry Potter, no. So the fact that he recognises a wizard is good enough for me. There's Del Boy in there as well. I hadn't realised at first, there's a Pirates of the Caribbean, the guy dressed up at the very back.
Yeah, who is that?
I don't know who that is. But there's lots of good stuff going on there, and fair play to them. Fair play to the... is it Craig Forsyth on the rollerblades?
No, that's... Is that James Collins? It looks a bit like James Collins. Phil, can you confirm?
No, I can't work out that. Can't be having Fozzie on rollerblades with his injury history, can
that's
we?
What I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. But yeah, there's some truly outstanding outfits, and it's good to see like them all out there, and they've all got well involved. There's no like half measures on there, is there? Like,
well, you say that, Tom. Like, someone did point out on the Discord, does it count as fancy dress as a footballer if, like Kane Wilson, you go in fancy dress as a footballer? He's just turned up in a full kit Real Madrid outfit. That's a 5 out of 10, isn't it, at best, surely?
Yeah, but it does look ridiculous, so I quite like it.
What, Kane Wilson playing for Real Madrid?
Full kit,
well, you never know. He's a good player.
Yeah, he is.
I do hope Max Bird was impersonating Uncle Albert, like, during the war and all of that. And
I think
Liam Thompson
he is.
Coming out with dipstick plonker.
I couldn't decide if Bird is meant to be Uncle Albert or like a homeless Captain Birdseye. It's not immediately clear. So who have we got left to right? I think we've got, who's that as the jockey? And you got someone else is like, is that Ric Flair next to him? Is that what I'm looking at? Getting blank getting blank faces there.
Yeah, I'm not sure who that bloke is. Obviously, you've got Sibley as Draco. You've got Thompson and Bird as the only full
boy and Uncle Albert. Yeah.
Sonny Bradley's gone as a Papa John's chef.
Yeah. is that Callum Elder as the horse? And then is it Fozzie behind him, actually?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it could be, actually. Yeah. Yeah. And then you've got Jake Rooney as Elf. Yeah. Curtis Nelson as like a female fitness instructor, which has given me very confused feelings looking at that. And then Harahan as a delivery driver. Splendid effort. Is that Joe Ward as like a generic Peaky Blinder?
Yeah. Tommy, or could it be Arthur? Arthur.
yeah. I think my personal favourite is actually Aaron Cashin as a... Is he Eddie the Eagle? Is he actually Eddie the Eagle?
I think he is. He's got the Calgary 88 on, hasn't he?
And then you got someone... Who's that behind him as Bane? I couldn't tell. I couldn't work out who that was.
Scott Loach, I think.
Connor Washington?
Is it? Well, Connor Washington's still got like a broken ankle, hasn't he? So if he managed to get out, he's done incredibly well. But no, fair play to them. It's really good effort. We might have a final word on that at the end, but we did in my race to ask Phil about the Airbnb forget to do 5-word reviews on that game. So let's read a few out. 5-word reviews on Leighton Orient 0, Derby County 3. Classic Only Child on our Patreon. He said, great result, but nobody's convinced. Stuart Clements said, the Derby way can wait. Rob Wilcoxon said, that'll do, Warren, that'll do. Michael John, League One champions 23-24. Love that. Nikki B said, everything's coming up Millhouse. Pete, do you want to guess, Tom, what Pete Lee said? What his 5-word review was?
All aboard the promotion bus.
Of course. Phil knows. Sorry, it. I'm late. Phil's in on the joke now.
On the top deck there.
Chris Hill said, terrace or balcony momentum building. Andy Chan said, wins after stopping aimlessly crossing. One more. Julian Gerson said, worn out is so passe. I couldn't agree more. Fantastic stuff. I mean, where does this leave us, Phil? Like some massive, massive games over the festive period. Lincoln next, and then Swansea, and then Oxford away. Peterborough and Wigan as well. Like, it's going to be it's pretty make or break stuff over Christmas and New Year, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't get too low on our defeats, and we probably needed to tell ourselves that, Chris, when we were on the train back from Stevenage, and we probably shouldn't be getting too high on this run of victories. We're catching teams at the right time. I feel like Orient are bang out of form, so were Port Vale. Two home games in a row now, though, and that takes us into two tricky Christmas and New Year's ties away from home in Oxford and Wigan that, you know, we're going to need to be bang up for them, and that'll probably be where we find out the true Derby County this season, I feel. But we're definitely, you know, we're flying in terms of confidence compared to where we were 6 weeks ago. Players are coming back to fitness. We're getting goals from all over the squad. We've got every chance of catching the teams above us, I think.
It feels like there's still more to come from this team. It wasn't a perfect performance by any shot. And as you said earlier, Phil, like we didn't really get out of second gear against Orient. And will be tougher tests. But I also think that when there was sort of clamouring for Warren to be out, and it was really frustrating, I think it's just like it's that sort of nature of just trying, remembering the season is 46 games long. Like we've just won 5 on the bounce. So we could go quite easily lose five on the bounce. And I don't think then you'd be wanting to sack Warren, because the potential is definitely there in this team. And we've got the goals coming from all over the place. The thing I'm most impressed about is how much more solid we look at the back currently. I quite like the shape we had on Saturday. It seemed like a bit of a 4-2-3-1, trying to get people forward a lot more. And I prefer us playing 4 at the back than 5. As soon as we brought on Sonny Bradley and changed to a 5, I thought we went backwards in terms of how we sort of structured. And that's not Bradley's fault. It was the shape. I don't think the players quite like it. And I do agree with you. I think it's important that we keep picking up points. I don't think it's a disaster if we only pick up 4 points from our next 2 home games, or maybe even 3 in a sort of possible worst case scenario. Then going into Oxford and the Wigan games, if we can get one win out of those two, I think would be a really good Christmas. I prefer at Oxford, but I take a win against against Wigan, even if we end up losing against Oxford, especially if we picked up 6 points in the previous two home games. So it's take each game as it comes, and like I think just keep building on that form. We're not going to win every game between now and the end of the season. It's about keeping calm, because there's enough quality in this Derby team to go a lot higher up in the league than we are currently.
Tom, you're off to Wigan, aren't you, over Christmas for the first time since that magical day when you went on your own in the 13-14 season.
Yeah,
got pissed on the train, did some marking, did some homework, and then watched Derby smash Wigan. You'd take that again, wouldn't you?
Absolutely would. I mean, it's going to be similar when we go there, because obviously going on Boxing Day, nothing's going to be open. And I went on, it was a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday because Wigan had been in Europe. And as a result, I got there on the train. It was a 4-hour train journey because it was a Sunday service. And I had about half an hour to get to the ground. So I managed to pick myself up a beer and run to the ground, got into the ground, got out and was like, right, I need to get some fish and chips and some beers for the way home. Literally nothing was open. I couldn't find a shop, couldn't find like a pub even that was open that looked vaguely inviting before my train at sort of 6:15. So I ended up sort of wandering around and then got a load of beers on the train. It was a great day, but it was a very odd one. And in the end, I got very, very drunk on my own on a Sunday in Wigan and on a train there and back.
That's the only way to do it. Well, it might be the same again. So don't forget the turkey sandwiches and when you go on Boxing Day. Look, we're going to see this one out. This episode, I haven't done one of these for a while, and off the back of a magnificent away win in the capital at the weekend, it's time for this. That's right, the triumphant return of Win, Lose or Schnorr, the Derby County results-based guessing game. Phil, I can see him chomping at the bit there. His debut in this quiz format. The rules are simple. I give you and Tom three games. I just want to hear Win, Lose or Schnorr. And whoever gets the most right out of three wins. It's that simple. Your first one is this. West Ham away in the 01-02 season. That's West Ham away on Boxing Day 2001. Tom, you can go first.
Lose.
Phil, win, lose or schnorr. West Ham away 2001.
I feel like Colin Todd picked up a bit of form around Christmas that year. Go schnorr. Yeah, I'll go schnorr.
Sorry. Tom, you were saying?
Lose.
You said lose. Yeah. It's 1-0, Tom. We did, of course, get gubbed 4-0. And it was that game where Trevor Sinclair scored that amazing scissor kick, I think. Possibly in a goal that they scored where like four players touched the ball from a corner and the ball didn't touch the floor.
Benito Carboni got sent off as well for diving, even though he had his ankle broken by Thomas Repka or something like that.
Yeah, that's the one. It's all coming back to Tom now. 1-0 to Tom. Game number two is Crystal Palace away, September 2002. So Crystal Palace away in September of the 2002-2003 season. Phil, you can have first dibs at this one.
Win.
I think this was a night match and Luciano Zavagno equalised in a schnorr.
So Tom, you're saying schnorr?
Yeah.
Did King Cladsey score as well in this one? I remember the Zavagno goal as well.
Yeah. Good work.
It was. King Cladsey winner, 83 minutes, Derby 1-0. So, goes to a decider. You've got to give different answers to this because I haven't got a tiebreaker. final one, Charlton Athletic away, December the 29th, 2012. Charlton away in December of the 2012-2013 season. Tom, win, lose or schnorr?
I'm going to go win.
Phil?
I'm stabbing in the dark at this one. I'm going to go schnorr.
Tom has said win. It's not there. Phil has said schnorr. This for the win. It's there.
Oh, your beauty.
It's there for
Stefan
Phil.
Stefan Schnatzer.
It was a 1-1. Jamie Ward equalising for Derby. I have no memory of that game whatsoever. And we've been to Charlton quite a few times, haven't we, Tom?
Yeah, it must have been a time when I was at Christmas at my grandma's up in Derby rather than rather than actually watching that game, because I seem to remember us always winning at Charlton away, apart from like one horrendous 3-0 defeat when Conor Gallagher scored. That was September. So, disappointed there, but well played, Phil. Fair play to you.
A debut win for Phil, so he's got to be chuffed with that. Look, we'll be back in a couple of weeks, shorter pod this week, but there's only so much you can say about a balcony in a flat in East London. So a fantastic result. Long may it continue. Phil, thanks for hopping on, man.
Pleasure as always.
And Tom, thank you for your time, as always.
All the best, guys.
See you soon.